Cougar fans, it is time.
Touchdown! What a grab!
It's time to raise your colors, raise your voice, and join in on the raucous roundtable about your favorite team, the BYU Cougars.
20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
It's time to tailgate. Cougar Tailgate, where BYU sports fandom lives. And here's your host, Lauren McClain.
What's up, Cougar Nation? I'm Lauren McClain, and we're here to tailgate with you, doing what we do best, talking all things BYU Cougars. For this week's roundtable discussion, we have BYU TV sports producer and so much more, Hema Hemuli.
Kia ora.
And former BYU basketball and pro standout, Jonathan Tavernari. What's up, JT?
Hey, guys. Appreciate you guys having me back. So, must be doing something all right if you guys keep having me back. So, let's go.
Pure entertainment. Pure knowledge, pure entertainment. That's how I describe you. What a whirlwind of a week. I just want to remind everyone that we were talking football last week at this time. Nothing had happened yet. Now, 1 week later, Mark Pope is settled in at Lexington, Kentucky as the new head coach of his alma mater. Dallin Hall, Richie Saunders, and Ali Khalifa all entered the transfer portal after the news. Then on Tuesday morning, Colin Chandler flips his commitment to Kentucky. And later in the day, BYU hired Phoenix Suns assistant coach Kevin Young, the highest paid in the NBA, to take over as the 20th head coach in BYU men's basketball history. There is so much to talk about that happened this week. JT, I know you were rooting for Chris Burgess to get the job, but what was your reaction when you saw that BYU hired Kevin Young?
Well, you know, in all honesty, I feel like I always thought Kevin was out of reach, right? You know, mainly because for two reasons. One, because I feel like if you look at his resume, so darn close to being an NBA head coach, right? Which he actually addressed yesterday in the press conference. You know, I was invited. I had a chance to be there. It was awesome. He actually addressed that part of it. You know, he's like, my dream was never to be an NBA head coach. And so you always thought like, okay, this guy started, you know, in the G League, went all the way up to being one of the top guys with the Sixers, one of the top, you know, the top NBA assistant with the Suns. And so in my mind, I'm like, there's no way heaven or earth, celestial, he ain't coming. It's just not going to happen. Right. And so, and then I also, you know, from the other perspective also is the financial side of things, right? And so, but to have somebody like that, I think, you know, you can't say no when he's available like that. I still have hope that Chris comes in the staff as part of a, you know, associate head coach or sort of thing to help with the transition, because I want to emphasize, you know, before back to you, Lauren, is BYU is a very unique place. It's a peculiar place. We know that, right? And so the way that you have to recruit at BYU, the BYU tendencies, the BYU culture, I understand he's a member of the church. He grew up in Salt Lake, but he doesn't have BYU experience. And, I mean, Hema, with your dad and the experience you've had around the program and the culture, it is different. And so I hope that we can get, you know, some folks that they know how to handle the BYU atmosphere.
And you mentioned the financial side of things. When you heard he was hired in 5 days for a reported 7-year, $30 million contract, did you even recognize the university that we all know and love? I'm like, I'm sorry, is this BYU we're talking about? Hema, what were your thoughts on the lengths BYU went to secure Kevin Young?
I was in the same boat as JT. I mean, an NBA assistant, associate head coach, like, was out of my mind, like, not even close. I did think with my discussions with my peers and stuff, I thought BYU needed to have a home run hire, but the old BYU would typically take a while to vet and process candidates and things like that. So I didn't expect them to have a splash hire. I expected them to have a good hire. And then I didn't expect them to do it so quickly.
Yeah.
But all I got to say is, like, this ain't the same BYU. It's crazy how fast they got the job done. And I was honestly shocked that they got Kevin Young.
I have a question for you guys. I think it's relevant. Do you think that we can expect the same level of efficiency in the releasing and calling of bishops, nursery leaders, primary presidents, And, you know, what do you guys think moving forward, you know, for the status of our church?
Well, I think, you know, the 5-year hard cap is should be in play, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
If I got paid that much money to be a nursery leader, man,
oh, that's
all about it.
They pay you in goldfish.
That might be the only thing they do. Just as valuable. I do want to ask this question. So I really liked Mark Pope as a coach. I thought he did a fantastic job leading BYU to the Big 12. Happy for him in Kentucky, truly. We all knew that was kind of his end game. BYU was never his end game. We all kind of knew that. It was kind of a stepping stone for him. Do you guys feel like Kevin Young is an upgrade from Mark Pope as far as coaching experience and what you think he can accomplish at BYU? What about you, JT?
Well, I will say this. I think from something that Kevin said in his press conference, which is, I don't think there's anybody in the country that can match what I bring to BYU in terms of getting people to the NBA. And I think it's hard to argue with that. You know, what other college coach is going to have that many superstars on their speed dial, that many GMs on their speed dial, that many NBA coaches on their speed dial? And so from that perspective, it's, you know, you talk about a flex. You know, people can go and enter an arena with a bus all they want, but if you can go and tell a player, hey, I can get you to the NBA, I know how to do this, my goodness gracious. I mean, you're not selling a pipe dream. You're literally, you know, it's amazing. And so I think from that perspective is an upgrade. The one thing, I think Mark Pope was the ultimate salesman, right?
Yeah.
You know, very recently I watched that, you know, The Greatest Showman with, you know, Wolverine. And yeah, the way that he, the way that he sells everything, that was Mark Pope, right? And so when you saw the extravaganza that was his press conference at Kentucky, that was all him preparing, planning, and so on. I think Kevin is going to do it differently. And so it's two different approaches. You know, very curious to see how, you know, this whole thing evolves. But the one thing that I think it is an upgrade is in the pedigree in terms of coaching, right? Mark Pope, at the very, very best, and again, there's not going to be a knock on some of my alumni, you know, fellow brothers, but, you know, the one of the top guys that he has coached at BYU, you know, in terms of, I mean, UVU, did he have some, you know, phenomenal superstars? It's probably Jake Toulson. But then you, and again, not a knock on Jake Toulson, but compare him to Devin Booker, to Bam Adebayo, to Kevin Durant, to all of these guys, to Chris Paul. Compare him to all of these other guys that Kevin got to coach in the NBA. You know, from that perspective, I think it's a massive upgrade.
One thing I love to think about is the relationships that he has with these guys and that they can help him in the future. Cause you know, if they're a strong, good relationship, some of these guys are going to be like, hey, I noticed this kid in high school, keep an eye on this guy. You know, like some of these coaches and players and all those amazing connections that he has, and they know he's a great coach. So hopefully they'll send him this way. Obviously there's always the honor code. There's always the honor code. So that's always going to prevent some phenomenal players from coming to BYU, but I'm excited to see what happens. Let's get into the press conference a little bit. Coach Young had his opening press conference in the Marriott Center on Thursday night with former and current players in attendance, including UJT, Dallin Hall, Trevin Nell, Eric Mika, Tyler Hawes, Danny Ainge, Dave Rose was there alongside with some other notable faces. And lest we forget Ryan Smith, one of the guys behind the scenes pushing and paying for all of this to happen. So much stood out from what he said in that press conference, and he addressed the players first, stating he already talked to them individually. He wants them all back in the building and to build upon what they did last season. I loved that. Hema, what are the odds Kevin Young can bring back guys in the portal, namely Dallin Hall, Ali Khalifa, Richie Saunders?
I think they're pretty high. It's hard to, you know, once you're in the transfer portal, you can dip your toes in anywhere else in the world, in the country, right? If you're a recruit or a player. But what I like about Kevin Young that I got from his conference overall is everyone said this. He's a very humble guy. And for me, I'm going to take it a step further and say he's not only humble, but he's it seems sincere. And I think players can sniff that kind of thing out. I hope they can, you know.
Yeah.
I think players can tell when someone's being real or and instantly, right? And I think that's the impression that I got from Kevin Young, and I hope, you know, that they got that same impression from him. And I think that'll factor in their decisions, you know, in a month or so from now, whenever the portal right. closes. You know.
JT, what do you think? Do you think he can get those guys in the portal back at BYU?
I will say this. I thought that it would have been less difficult to get Richie back just because it's, you know, it's not a – I feel like college basketball is not a market for wings or for bigs. Yes and no, but I feel like it mainly because Richie's numbers weren't incredible, right? He didn't have a lot of, you know, the numbers itself are not super like, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. But we know what he brings to the table because of how he fit, you know, in last year's team. So I always thought that maybe Richie was going to be easier to get it done than Dallin Hall. The fact Dallin was at a press conference yesterday, it was very telling. And so to me, I think Ali Khalifa is a long shot, mainly because I think he's a Mark Pope guy, kind of like Colin Chandler is a column guy, a Mark Pope guy. And so I think, you know, my hope is that he can get at least Dallin back, because yesterday, I think last year we always talked about it. Dallin was, you know, we always talked about who's your MVP, who's your MVP. And I said, I think the most important player is Dallin, because if he goes down, who the heck do we have, you know, backing him up? And so, you know, from that perspective, I think it is less difficult to find another Richie Saunders than it is to find another Dallin Hall. But my hope is that he can bring both back because of how huge they were to the team last year.
Mm, I love that perspective. Not only did Kevin tell Jason Shepherd that Chris Paul and Devin Booker will probably come and work out with the guys in the summer, but he said this about how he wants to develop the guys that play for him at BYU.
Coming from my background and talking to the players, you know, a lot of guys have, not a lot, all of them have ambition to play in the NBA. And I think with my background, we're going to build, we're going to, this is an amazing place, has been for a long time. What I want to do to take it to the next level is make this place the best place in college basketball to prepare young men to play in the NBA. And I think with my background, I think we're going to be able to get that done. And I really look forward to doing that.
The best place in college basketball to develop NBA players. As a recruit, JT, how impactful would that be to you hearing that from BYU's head coach?
You know, again, when he goes and he come to me and pitch and said, hey, look, I want you to come and play for me. I think you have potential to play at the next level. I know that he's not going to be lying to me. And so the one thing that I think it answered, and that was a question that I had for a couple of the reporters. They're like, hey, so what would you ask them? What would you ask him? And my question is, are you going to go after just local LDS talent, national LDS talent, or everybody? And I think by his answer, you can tell that he's like, I'm going to go after everybody. 3-star, 4-star, 5-star, 0-star, no star, half a star, you know? And so to me, the ability that,
half star.
Well, and so when he says half a star, him, I think back on the longest yard, we just got a maniacal guy, half a star against 5-star. I think that he has the pedigree to be able to go and say, hey, you know, Lauren, come and play for us because, you know, you have X, Y, and Z that translate to the NBA level. I can help you get there. Look where I've been. Look at the context that I have. And I think that's actually going to resonate with many more prospects in the portal as they're looking to make a transition. Obviously, you know, there's the NIL side of things, which he admitted is, you know, the biggest differentiator between the NBA and college with the portal and so on. But I think that when he has that, you know, that type of sales pitch, it's very difficult to say no, right? And so yeah. It will be interesting to see what happens at BYU the next couple of years.
His demeanor, you mentioned this before, was a lot different from Mark Pope's. You know, Mark Pope is like, let's have a party, you know, every time he's there. Kevin Young seemed a little more serious, a little more dialed in. It'll be interesting to see how he connects with the fans as well, which is a huge thing. But Hema, so he mentions he wants BYU to kind of be the place to go for guys that want to go to the NBA. Knowing BYU as you do, do you feel like that is a realistic thing? Because coaches, when they first get here, you say a lot of things, right? You say a lot of things. Everyone's excited. Everyone's hyped up. Is that a realistic thing?
I think it is. If we're buying, selling what he says, I'm buying it because not only does he have, obviously, like JT said, the pedigree that most coaches don't have, but he's also, just from his body language, I felt like he truly means what he says. And the fact that he mentions his faith so often, you know, in the media is great because, you know, that's a big part of this place, what makes it special. And you can't forget about that aspect of the game being here. And I think, you know, I think that's where he differentiates himself from other coaches, even coaches that have been here. He's from day one, he's talking about his faith. He's talking about not only how he can get players to go to the NBA, but how he can also make it fit with his core beliefs. And so, so I'm buying everything he's selling. Right
yeah.
now.
And one thing he talked
I have
about
a question
oh, go
for
ahead,
you,
JT.
If that's okay. Just based on what you said about belief.
Yeah.
And it's something that I always ask everybody. So obviously, you know, we all know who your dad was and everything he accomplished in terms of his success at BYU and so on. Growing up, and obviously you were always involved with BYU, would you ever hear, you know, your dad talk about the honor code and people's issues of the honor code? You know, everybody always brings up the honor code and our religion and so on. Do you feel like even back in your dad's day, you know, 70s and 80s and so on, has it always been this, you know, polarizing, you know, topic?
I see what you're saying 100%. I think no. And I think the reason is this, because, you know, my history and background is with football, the football side. And my dad told me tons of stories about how Lavelle Edwards didn't see the honor code as a barrier, but saw the honor code as a tool to make young men better. Mm. And he believed that the NFL and like professional playing will come naturally after that. If everyone just works and does their hardest to be better, including being better young men, that things would just come. That's why my dad, you know, we just had the 1984 reunion special not too long ago. And you look at that group of men, and there was Catholics, there was atheists, there was, you know, black, white, brown, all shades of people. And they all came together and accomplished something great, and they love each other still. And I 100% believe that's all because of Lavelle, because of the spirit of this institution and like how he treated the honor code as a tool to make men better. So I think, you know, if there's a coach that can do that, they'll be really successful because you're not selling the school despite of the honor code,
right?
But you're selling the school with the honor code being a benefit to the players and the parents that
I love that
truly care about their kids. Right. So,
yeah,
that's so cool. I love that so much. And it is true, right? I mean, you put the spiritual aspect of it aside and you talk about just even the health benefits of living the things on the honor code and how, if you truly are trying to make it to the next level, these are kind of duh things that you should be doing, right?
Yeah.
In order to do that. And so I love that it's not like, hey, I know there's this honor code, but I can still help you. It's like, no, this is a tool as well that's going to help you to make it to the next level. That was powerful, Hema. I love that. All right. Coming up, let's get to know BYU's new head coach, and we'll hear from you, the fans, about what excites you most about the new hire after hearing from the man himself. This is Cougar Tailgate. Welcome back to Cougar Tailgate. I'm Lara McClain. Joining me today is Hema Hemuli and Jonathan Tavernari. I asked you, the fans, after last night's press conference with new head coach Kevin Young, what excites you the most about this hire? And here's what you said. At True Blue 1984 said, his amazing resume, player development skills, and his humility to be here at BYU. At Suave Jono said, the potential staff that really signals to kids, these coaches know how to develop my game to the NBA. And a signal that BYU is dedicated to building a strong infrastructure, both within and in the NIL space. At Utah Sanders said, getting players to the NBA. Plain and simple. At Hook'em Kook said, he really seems to want to be here and is humble. Did you guys get that same feeling that he really, truly wants to be at BYU? He mentions his wife, right? He said, my wife was, he was like honest, my wife was more excited to come to BYU than I was. So here's this guy getting opportunities to be a head coach in the NBA. He clearly wanted a different atmosphere and environment for his family. I think he made that very clear. His wife wanted to be here, loved this opportunity. Do you guys think that he truly wants to be with BYU? Because BYU fans right now have a little bit of a PTSD because of Mark Pope, right? I think everyone deep down knew he wasn't going to stay here. And then kind of like that, he took off. So they're probably thinking about that. Like, is this just a stepping stone for Kevin Young? So, Hema, what was your impression? Do you think he really wants to be here?
I think so. You know, with anything, you know, when we observe something in media or whatever, we kind of tend to liken it to ourselves, right? And like our situation and things like that. That's part of storytelling. That's part of the reality of it. And when I saw Kevin Young up there, and then we would show shots of his like wife and his young children. Young children, I think, to me is the key, because it's a big reason why I came to BYU from, you know, outside covering sports to covering BYU sports specifically, is because I have young children. I wanted more time with them. I wanted a stable, safe, clean, awesome environment for them to grow up in. And I feel like Kevin's seeking that same thing. Not saying he can't find that in Arizona or Philly or wherever he was, but I think if you know that BYU is a special place. BYU puts family first, just by sheer definition from the church, right?
Right.
I think, so for me, I saw his family. I see him. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. That's why he's making the move. It's because he wants a good place to start with his young family. He wants to spend more time with them. And I can relate to that.
And he mentioned that he is super excited for his 10-year-old to be able to see the atmosphere of college basketball. He said that's something you don't get in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So he's excited for that as well. JT, what do you think? Do you think he's going to stick with BYU?
The one thing that he said in a press conference, he said, I came here when I saw Wake Forest play, and I played in that game. And it was my junior year, and we barely lost to a team that had five future NBA players. And we only lost, I think, by like 6 or 7 points. And, you know, it truly was. And you see, I'll say this. He was like, that was the best college atmosphere ever. That was a sold out. That was back when Merit Center could fit 23,700. There were 24,000 people in the gym that day. Standing room only. And so that was definitely one of the top five games I've ever played at the Marriott Center. And so I think to answer is, you know, from a coaching perspective, a basketball perspective only, like, you know, let's just talk about just the game itself. Was this his first option? I don't know. But I think that as you consider all of the things, that he said and that Hema just shared, you know, I think that put BYU as, yes, I want to be here. Because let's be realistic, you know, the family, what our religion preaches and what we stand for and what we believe in is, you know, families are forever. You know, the proclamation to the family, we need to be together, you know, focus on family and church attendance and so on. And so I think it probably gave him something that he probably has never had his married life, which is, you know, some type of balance that he can put. I don't want to say he never put his family first, but that on Sundays, he doesn't have to stress out and he can be home with his children. Yeah. And, you know, obviously coaching in the NBA is the ultimate, you know, achievement in our sport. But to be able to be able to do all of these things while, you know, handsomely being compensated, and also having the beard clause in his contract, because he said it, I have the beard clause in my contract. So, you know, it's going to come back soon enough. And so what I think on that one is I think he's happy to be here. He's excited to be here. I think we're lucky to have him. His different personality is going to take a little bit for – I don't want to say take a little bit for us to adapt, but it's different, right? You've had the guy, you know, that leads the team, drives the bus, you know, is the party ring leader. And now I think it's going to be more I don't want to say organized in a way that Mark Pope wasn't organized, but it's going to be, I feel like it's going to be a very, you know, in football, you guys say him, it's a pro run offense. You know what I mean? It's a pro offense. It's a, you know, I think it's going to be a very pro oriented basketball program moving forward.
Mm. I'm excited to see what happens. Let's get to know Kevin a little bit because he has a unique background, to say the least. Born in Salt Lake City, went to high school in Marietta, Georgia. Went to college in Middle Georgia and Clayton State, where he played basketball. He's married with two sons and a daughter. Began coaching career in 2004 at Oxford College in Georgia as an assistant. He joined Dick Hunsaker's staff at Utah Valley in 2005 as an unpaid assistant. Coached the Shamrock Rovers in the Irish Super League. Spent 8 years coaching in the NBA D League for the Utah Flash, Iowa Energy, and Delaware 87ers. In 2016, he became an assistant coach for the Philadelphia 76ers. And in 2020, he joined the Phoenix Suns as an assistant coach. On June 3rd, 2023, Young was given a five-year contract extension worth $10 million with the Phoenix Suns, making him the highest-paid assistant coach in the NBA after finishing as the runner-up for the open head coaching position for them. One of the few criticisms I've heard is that Kevin lacks college coaching experience, which could be a weakness. JT, do you think that matters?
I don't think as coaching itself matters. I think the only thing, and he addressed this yesterday, is recruiting, right? In my lifetime, I've been approached by three different Division I colleges to join their staff as a director of basketball operations, as a, director of player personnel, you know, to kind of oversee international recruiting, right, with the connections that I have in Latin America and in Europe. But I will tell you, recruiting is the hardest part of a collegiate basketball coaching staff. It is not even close with anything else they have to do. And the backbone and the heart of your program depends on recruiting. We all saw that, you know, Mark Pope had a few good ups and a lot of downs going to the transfer portal. And we all felt that Mark Pope was very much heading to the, you know, to the mountaintop because he planted the seed with Colin Chandler and Isaac Davis and all these guys in high school, right? And we're like, dang it, he missed on Brody Kozlowski, because we're like, you know, the tendency of building your pipe, was really going. Kevin is going to have to figure out a way to do all of that, which is why I always thought that Chris Burgess, always had, you know, that number one spot, because Chris has the experience, not only with the current BYU guys that are in the portal, but also with the future guys coming up. And so to me, that is going to be the hardest thing that he's going to have to endure. But basketball coaching wise, X's and O's, the offenses that he talked about something really great yesterday. He said, I have been in charge of the offense of all of the NBA teams I've been with. Well, shoot, let's look at the 76ers with Joel Embiid and Tobias Harris and Marco Bellinelli and J.J. Redick and all of these guys. And then you look at the Phoenix Suns with Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Grayson Allen and Chris Paul. And, the DeAndre Ayton. I mean, my goodness. So offensively, it will probably be a dream playing for this guy. And defensively, he had to figure out a way to adapt to the best defenses. So X's and O's, if there might not be a better person in the country in a collegiate level right now than Kevin Young, the key to me is he going to be able to get, suave, that mojo on the recruiting side of things to get people to come to BYU?
Yeah, that really is the biggest question. And you mentioned you need a good staff, right? Because he'll be with the Suns minimum of till April 28th, possibly through June 23rd. That's a critical period. And I know he's working super, super hard to get his staff put together. You mentioned it would be amazing if he could get Chris Burgess and someone with some good BYU ties to get on his staff while he's busy. Hema, who else do you think he needs? Maybe not specific people, but what type of people do you think he needs to quickly get on his staff?
Yeah, Burge is probably the best case scenario, and JT hit it on the head. I think, yeah, recruiting starts now, and you need someone in your staff that can recruit for you I mean, especially while you're coaching in the NBA playoffs, right? So I think, yeah, I think that's the biggest need is someone that can recruit, someone that can coach, someone, maybe someone that has a lot of ties into in a lot of places. I don't know who that is. Yeah. I don't know. That's Coach Young's job to do, but, and it's easier said than done, right? But I think, yeah, that's his biggest hurdle right now. I don't think not coaching at the collegiate level is a hurdle at all.
Yeah.
You know, he's coached in an NBA finals. So
right.
It doesn't,
yeah.
That doesn't really.
It's not scaring him.
Yeah, not scaring.
I think it scares him a little bit, actually. I think NIL scares him a little bit.
Yeah.
Is something that he pointed out. But I would love to see a guy with strong BYU ties and then some other guys that are completely outside of the box. You know, just some of his own personal relationships, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know, lower guys at the NBA level that maybe want to come play, you know, coach at the college level. I don't know. It'd be so great just to see him bring in a really eclectic group of guys to get an eclectic group of recruits here as well. My last question for you, JT, is do you think Kevin Young can build on the success that Pope had in his first year in the Big 12, or do you feel like he might struggle a little bit in his first year?
I don't think he will struggle. I think it's a natural situation based on what happened with Mark Pope leaving. I think the program is set. It's going to take a year to reset. So I don't want to necessarily look at it as struggle. I'm going to try to be, you know, go based on the teachings of Master Oogway and Master Shifu, which is I'm going to look at the glass half full and say it's going to be a reset year, right? I actually had a few different people. I had a debate going on last night. I think personally it's going to take at least a couple of seasons because, you know, it's going to take this next year, the minimum, maybe next summer, I think you'll be in a position to really catapult this BYU team springing forward. But I do think that this next year is a reset. I think we need to be honest with ourselves, and I don't think this is a knock on anybody or on BYU. This is just the fact Mark Pope leaving when he did – in the middle of the recruiting process and so on, and in the summertime in the portal, it did set BYU back. At minimum, it did set BYU back a year. And I don't think that's good or bad. That's just a fact. Because of the timing, because of the recruiting, you look at Colin Chandler coming back. And so the question is, again, we keep coming back to recruiting. Will Kevin Young, with 1 year at BYU, be able to next summer when he's going to be a full-time recruiter for us, be able to say, I can sway enough people to come here from the transfer portal, buying him another year to recruit high school guys to then come to Provo. So, because I'll say this, the game has changed, but, you know, just based on transfer portal, NIL, and so on, I mean, people will have a crazy season on Division II, Division III, and get an offer to Division I, right? Look at, you know, Duncan Robinson from the Heat. Hema, growing up, when did you ever hear of that? It wouldn't happen. Guys would score 40, 50 points in NAIA and never come up to, you know, a Division II. Nowadays, it happens all the time. So, but I still think the way that you build your program is through the pipeline of high school. And I do think that for that, Kevin is going to take about a couple of years, if not three.
Yeah. And honestly, it's so fun to talk about, right? But only time will tell. We just kind of have to sit back and watch and hope for the best. And I think he's the right guy for the job. All right. Thank you guys so much for coming on. That does it for us today. Thanks again to Hema Hamouli and Jonathan Tavernari for coming on the show with me. Carter Bond and Tori Kimball helped produce this episode with senior producer Terry South. You can join the Cougar Tailgate wherever you get your podcasts on Apple, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, or on BYUradio.org. Cougar Tailgate is a production of BYU Radio.